Hello and welcome. I'm Gary Shipe. Thanks for listening in as we continue to talk with leaders in our community. Joining me today is the Strategic Partnerships Director, Bob Carey, from the Washington chapter of the Nature Conservancy. Bob, welcome. Thanks for coming this morning.
Thanks very much for having me, Gary.
You know, I'm glad you're here. The Northwest is known for many things, and one of the most prominent, I suppose, is people's love of the outdoors, and that leads us to, you know, wanting to take care of it and preserve it. And it's groups like the Nature Conservancy that do some of that, you know, big picture stewardship thing of these places for us. And so a lot of us take that for granted. So I'm glad to have you in here today and talk about kind of a pretty cool project that you are leading at the Nature Conservancy. And it's going to be exciting about our rivers sometimes that cause us a little trouble and how we harness them or how we mismanaged them maybe in the years past. But I'm looking forward to our conversation, but first let me just set some basics, I guess, for folks that might not know. Okay, the Nature Conservancy, right? You're international, right? I was about to say national. International, you have a global reach, right? This is a nonprofit that's been around for quite a while, right?
Yes, the Nature Conservancy is the leading global organization focused on conserving lands and waters that life depends on the planet. So we work in every state in the nation, in several dozen countries around the globe.
Yeah, and give the folks a quick once-over on some of the projects you've done over the years and maybe what your focus is more like in these days. Because I'm recalling when I first heard of you, maybe 20-some years ago, the Nature Conservancy was all about buying up big parcels of land, and I'm thinking the rainforest, so that it wouldn't be cut down and you know, natural life could continue the way it's supposed to.
That's certainly our roots here in Washington and elsewhere around the country and globe. In Washington, you know, for years, we were really focused on buying and protecting those lands that were most important to fish and wildlife, from places like the Skagit River to out on the coast across the state. And we still, that's still very much part of our business operations today, although more at much larger scales than we did historically.
Yeah. Okay. So you do have a reach in every state. And here in Washington, you guys have been working on, like you said, the Skagit. I guess let me set this up with, I don't know, the news headlines. If people watch TV, especially the last big weather system that went through the Midwest, we saw all the flooding along the Missouri and Mississippi and the smaller rivers that people can't remember the names of in Oklahoma and Wisconsin and Minnesota that we end up humans, I'll take the blame, okay? I'll be the bad guy here. We humans over the years have thought we've been managing our rivers correctly because we want to build. People naturally end up wanting to live by the water in a river and a nice flat bottom land, they used to call it, right? Good sediment and good soil to farm on, and a city grows up there, and turns out it's a floodplain. And we've really, you know, think we then for years kind of, oh, well, let's drain the swamp or let's build levees and dams, and that's the way we'll get around. But that's caused us problems now that we've been doing this for a couple hundred years on this continent, right?
That's exactly right, Gary. Floodplains are very attractive places for people as well as fish and wildlife, but they're flat, easy to build, adjacent to water, which we're attracted to sort of aesthetically, but those also used to be our transportation corridors.
Right, right.
The alluvial soils and floodplains are very productive for agriculture, so much of our settlement and development through the years has been in floodplains.
Yeah.
Of course, we call them floodplains for a reason,
okay.
Right?
Okay, there's step one here. Floodplain, what does that really describe? Is there a definition that everybody agrees on? I mean, we're talking about floodplains here this morning, folks. What is a floodplain, Bob?
Well, that's a more complicated question than you probably want to get involved in. There's legal definitions. There's regulatory definitions.
Oh, yeah.
There's ecological definitions.
But insurance companies have their own definition.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Right. But the simple definition is floodplains are those places where water goes during flood events.
Yeah. And the reason, the natural, let's go back to nature, Mother Nature's idea for a floodplain, what goes on there? I mean, why is it necessary? Why can't we just channel the water down, you know, between two high levees and let it dump into Commencement Bay?
Because
okay,
there is often a lot of water. And floodplains are essentially nature's coping mechanism for these huge volumes of water that come during storm events.
Yeah.
It gives the place, it gives the water a place to spread out and slow down, making it less destructive. So flooding never became a problem until we built in harm's way, essentially. And that's what causes the catastrophes.
So like in our area here in the Pacific Northwest, especially I'm thinking late October and November through December, when we get some heavy rains and it's not really snowing yet up in the mountains and it all is rushing down, and we see like places like Fall City and Carnation, the streets and roads are underwater between one side of the valley and the other. It's because what used to be the floodplain as, I don't know, would act like a sponge to soak up and let this water sit for a while. We ask it to go right down a few channels, and it comes. It can't go into the what used to be nature's floodplain, comes up over the banks, and there goes downtown Duval or whatever. I don't know.
That's exactly right. It forces the water downstream, doesn't give it a place to spread out, slow down, but also be stored. And so you get more, as you move down, further down in the watershed towards the coast, you have more and more of this water being funneled quicker to those areas, which means you have more water in those lower-lying, more coastal areas, and the flood threat, the flood risks increase as a result of those levees and entrainments.
Yeah, okay. So now let's get to your role. You've got a role, Strategic Partners Director of the Floodplains by Design Project, right? So designing floodplains, is the project just like it sounds, Floodplains by Design? We want to sort of re-engineer what we think is the right way to do this. Is that right?
Exactly. Essentially, what we've been doing for many years is, while we derive many benefits from our floodplains, it was weird to talking before, development, agriculture, fish, recreation,
right.
Many of the things that we care about and appreciate in the Northwest, we manage all those things through siloed programs. Through separate agencies, mm-hmm. and organizations. And what floodplains by design infers is that rather than managing in silos in ways that have proven unsustainable, ineffective, we're going to manage in a more collaborative fashion to achieve multiple benefits in a more holistic way.
So you got to work with partnership, and you find the right relationships. And so this is not an ecological group coming in and saying, here's what you have to do. You are getting groups together, farmers, business owners, wildlife people interested, and saying, hey, here's what we found may work better than having this area flood every 5-6 years. Insurance companies are having to come in and, you know, the homeowners are having to bail out, pile up sandbags, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You're saying if we all work together, we might find a way that eases the tension and the problems every few years when the water does flood too much. Was that what the partnership part of this is?
Exactly, exactly. And so the Nature Conservancy has done this in Puget Sound and elsewhere around the country through the on-the-ground, you know, local community-driven work we've done, where we've brought flood control districts, farmers, environmental groups together to figure out how you manage these systems more sustainably so that you have the fish and wildlife habitat you need, but you also have safer communities. What we've done with Floodplains by Design in Washington is help convene and put together a statewide partnership with State Department of Ecology, Puget Sound Partnership, and a whole variety of local and federal partners, tribal partners as well, to create the mechanisms, incentives, so that other folks can do this across the state.
Oh, cool. So that really sounds positive, especially for, you know, I'm thinking back 20 and 35 years when environmental groups got really started, maybe after the first Earth Day in the early 70s, and said, hey, here's what's wrong and here's how to fix it. And yeah, it impinged on other people's way of life. So now you get people to say, hey, you know, you get flooded every year or two. What do you tell a farmer? Let's use an example. Okay, real life examples. You've had success in, let's go with, is it Skagit River area?
Correct.
Okay, let's talk about the Skagit River. What was the problem? Who got together and how did we sort of solve a problem?
So we first got involved in this work at a place called Fisher Slough. This is located in the Skagit River estuary, down in the River Delta, in a place that has been highly constrained by levees, as we were discussing before, and as a result, we've lost a tremendous amount of the salmon habitat that's critical to salmon survival and salmon productivity. What we were able to do there in cooperation with local landowners, farmers, tribes, state and federal agencies, is create a project that set back levees along Fisher Slough to restore tidal habitat, tidal marsh habitat that the salmon need, but we did that in a way that improved the flood protection for the neighboring farmland, homes, and made that adjacent farmland more productive.
Fisher Slough, so this would be where the Skagit finally dumps into the Sound up there. It's near Bellingham. Is it kind of south near, of it?
South of Mount Vernon.
South of Mount Vernon. Oh, that's right.
Well, the Skagit flows right past Mount Vernon. This project was located south.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Skagit, it's a long river, isn't it?
It is. Starts up in B.C.
And so tidal estuary, so moving back, that was a great farmland area. So you've talked people into saying, hey, you shouldn't try and farm this close up to this levee in this river. And so what did you do? How did this all work? And you move physically, say, we're going to buy out your land, or we're going to talk, it's worth more for you to not farm this way and move the levee back, or parts of all that?
So there's been years of conversation and conflict around salmon habitat restoration in that part of the world because it is rich agricultural land. And it's important to the local economy, it's important to the region, and the farmers there didn't want to lose farmland. They've lost a lot to development. They didn't want to lose more to salmon habitat restoration. What we were able to do with the leadership of, you know, local farmers, including the landowner that came to us initially, was to site and design a project that achieved multiple benefits. And because the quote-unquote restoration project, the habitat restoration project, also delivered flood and drainage benefits to the agricultural community, they became very supportive of the project.
So you can design, you can look at the way a river flows and what the estuary, especially at the tidal part here, and say, if we redesign some of these levees and actually let it overflow this way and that away once in a while and not forcing it all this way, that you wouldn't be underwater every once in a while.
It's exactly right. And it doesn't just, I mean, this applies to coastal areas as well as upstream riverine areas, right? If you give the river or the water more room to spread out, you can absorb more of the flood water naturally. You're employing nature essentially to do the job of what we've relied on very costly engineering work to do historically.
And so that's going to save that farmer from having to file a flood insurance claim every once in a while.
Or repeatedly, you know, rebuild the levees that have been damaged during flood events.
So that might be a county or a city, a municipality that says, this is going to work for them too.
Yes.
And at the same time, so then those places where it will flood naturally, that's good for the environment, the natural ecosystem as well, I'm guessing, right?
That's exactly right.
So would a river, let me go to, I don't know, the Stillaguamish or something, or maybe this, what is it, the Snohomish that... I'm getting them all mixed up, Bob. Where a little further east of here is good, like bird hunting, you know, areas too. I mean, that to save a place like that is a floodplain, hunters might appreciate that too. That the ducks would then find more natural place for them to migrate into and through.
That's absolutely right.
That is okay.
And, you know, floodplains by design is about. Advancing a more integrated or multiple benefits approach to floodplain management, where we're trying to figure out how to manage as cost-effectively as possible to delivering that variety of benefits that society gets from our floodplains, which includes clean water, fisheries, hunting, other recreational pursuits, but while also reducing flood risk significantly and helping support a viable productive economy.
Sounds like a win-win-win. If you keep naming the interested parties, win-win-win situation. We're talking this morning with Bob Carey. He is the Strategic Partnerships Director with the Nature Conservancy, and about the project Floodplains by Design. And people can look this up online. I hope I get this right. Actually spelled out on the web, floodplainsbydesign.org, right?
Correct.
Oh, that's easy. Floodplains by Design. It's part of the Nature Conservancy, and that has their own website or two. The web, nature.org is the Nature Conservancy's, like, big time
national or global website.
And the chapter one is called WashingtonNature.org. Okay, WashingtonNature.org. People can find out more about the Nature Conservancy here in Washington State, because you do a lot more than just floodplains by design. Nature Conservancy has a lot of, I don't know, things, a lot of projects going on all the time. But floodplainsbydesign.org. So it sounds like you, who are these partners? You got to talk to partners and find them, and that's a key part, because it used to be, like I said, you know, loggers versus environmentalists type of thing, farmers versus fish. So what's the first you must get to breach that on a level of trust to talk to folks that are at least traditionally cloistered in a it's us and it's them? How do you break those walls down, and where does that start?
Well, again, the Conservancy has led projects on the ground work like this in a couple different watersheds around the state historically. At this point in time, what we've tried to do is, through this statewide Floodplains by Design partnership and program, is create the incentives and mechanism by which anybody can do that, not dependent on the Nature Conservancy at all.
Okay.
Right? The Floodplains by Design grant program, administered by the State Department of Ecology, funds this kind of collaborative floodplain management work. And anyone can do it. The projects that are funded are locally driven, but does require that those local stakeholders and interest groups and floodplain managers work collaboratively together to develop a more integrated vision and plan.
Well, let's give us another example or two. Maybe let's go to, I don't know, Orting is a pretty good example, right? They're on the, they're kind of between the Puyallup and the Carbon River. I mean, that is a floodplain, right? It's between these two rivers. If you look at the a Google Earth and you say, well, this is a really flat part and it's between two rivers, that must have been historically a floodplain, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And they get a problem every few years with one or two of those rivers, right? What did you guys, what happened down there?
So the Orting project, the city of Orting received one of the first floodplains by design grants issued by the state. And it was, you know, another great example of how to work with nature as opposed to against nature to develop a, you know, a win-win-win solution.
Yeah.
What they did there, working in partnership with the county and the tribes, the city of Orting, was set back the levee for about a mile and a half through, right through, along the Puyallup River, right through the city of Orting, so that they got a state-of-the-art setback levee, but they created much more room for those floodwaters to spread out and slow down. So 2006, they had a flood on the Puyallup, which peaked at about 16,000 cubic feet per second, led to the biggest flood evacuation in state history. Schools were flooded, homes were flooded, businesses were closed, roads were closed. It was a real catastrophe.
Almost every business in that town and home, it was under some water. Yeah.
Right. Fast forward to 2014, a year after they received the Floodplains by Design grant, and with that and other funding support, they had completed the setback levee project. And as a result, a flood event of almost exactly the same size led to about a handful of people evacuating voluntarily and virtually no flood damages.
The same amount of water, same size of flood event came down the river, and because of the change in how this river and the flood area was designed, hardly anyone was impacted?
Exactly.
Wow, that's awesome.
More room for the river to do its thing, what it's trying to do naturally. And so the community was protected, but because the way the project was designed to achieve these multiple benefits, you also have 100 new acres of salmon habitat in there, including what is now, I believe, the largest salmon spawning side channel on the entire Puyallup River. You have a mile and a half greenway right adjacent to the city, a new trail. You know, it's, again, as you said a few minutes ago, Gary, it was a win-win-win.
And so, and what does that look like? So when you say a setback levee, are we talking just changing where it is, or is it engineered? I mean, is that a new discipline in engineering, how to design levees so that a river can flood gradually? Or I don't know. What does it take, and what does it look like? I don't know. From the air, would it be something unusual for us to?
Well, it's designed quite similarly to most of the levees we see around the region and country. The difference is the location, really. Historically, we tended to build them, you know, right on the riverbank.
Yeah.
And this is set back, you know, what they did in Ording was essentially make the river, the width between the levees on both banks of the river, 2 to 4 times larger than it was.
Uh-huh.
So just a huge amount of additional space for that water to spread out.
And go ahead.
And also to, you know, create this open space and habitat for fish and wildlife.
And did so who had to give somebody had to give something up then? People must have been on that land or businesses, and how were they accommodated, or how, or if it wasn't there, that must happen elsewhere. Is that part of this project?
Yes, and I'm not sure on that particular project the exact land history, but in many of these cases where they're doing setbacks, there's, you know, the land acquisition has to occur. Generally, mm-hmm. that's done by the, you know, the city or county government, so, but others can do it as well.
So a county, because I'm trying to think, I saw on your website over this past week while I was learning more about this, and by the way, it is a great website, folks, floodplainsbydesign.org or washingtonnature.org. I was a homeowner talking about how he used to get flooded out, and now he lives somewhere else, but he's, so there was some kind of money. Is that part of this grant? Is it always the State Department of Ecology and municipalities, counties come up with some money and grants? Are there federal money involved with this? And
Department of Ecology manages the state floodplains by design grant program. So the state legislature appropriates funding. They've gotten $80 million over the last 3 years to allocate to different, you know, multiple benefit floodplain projects mm-hmm. across the state. And acquisition, you know, is one of the things you can use that money. But they've tried to design that program so that it's very flexible because every situation is different in terms of what's needed in terms of land, in terms of what's needed in terms of engineering, in terms of what the community priorities are, whether they want a trail or recreational access, or whether there's, you know, adjacent agriculture that they want to protect and ensure that there's good infrastructure that can keep that ag land viable.
So it sounds like this is another part of it I didn't realize. You get the whole community involved in the decision-making process. What kind of a community do we want? And let's take our time and design how we should work with the river and Mother Nature to figure that out. Is that A, answer B here with, is this equation?
Correct. How do we design the system to maximize those different interests, those different priorities that community has most cost effectively?
And that must be very different than people thinking the government's going to come in here and tell us what to do. So what is the response then? So this must be very, I'm guessing, you tell me the answer, positive after we've done this a couple of times, yes or no?
Yeah, the reception to this approach is been overwhelmingly positive. Sure, there's a few, you know, people that have some questions,
yeah.
Perhaps a little cynical, but on the whole, very positive response because it allows and in fact encourages locally driven solutions.
Encourages the locals to take a voice in how your community should look like, what should look like.
Right.
With respect, I mean, there are to this no, river.
Right. I mean, the way the program works, there are no projects if there's not a locally driven and developed solution, right? They're the ones that make the proposals.
Makes perfect sense.
The government's not coming in to tell people what to do. It's up to communities to come up with the answers.
That's awesome. We are talking to Bob Carey this morning. He is the Strategic Partnerships Director on the Nature Conservancy's project, Floodplains by Design. Look it up, folks, floodplainsbydesign.org on the web. We're going to run out of time before too long, Bob, so I want to make sure, what's on the agenda for the coming, years? You got, these are big projects. They must take years to design and think about and figure out and then actually accomplish. I'm figuring a lot of heavy equipment's involved. What's coming up in the next couple of years maybe that you could talk about?
Well, at this point in time, Ecology has released a request for proposals for what will be the third round of floodplains by design projects that we hope to help fund in the state. So proposals will be coming in the door at the end of this month, screened over the next year, and kicked to the legislature for the next biennium. So working with Ecology and other partners to ensure that there's a strong suite of really high-impact projects that are developed and that ultimately they get funded by the legislature is going to be a high priority.
So the State Department of Ecology listens to, like you said, these different local voices and say, we got a problem here. We think this can be addressed with maybe this. And they ask for grants and to be part of this project. Is that how it works?
Exactly. Yeah.
Not just Puget Sound area?
No, this is a statewide
are
program.
Are there things in Eastern Washington that we don't even think about here in Puget Sound that are going on?
There's some great work happening in Eastern Washington. The Yakima River is a great example of where a place where the floodplain managers there have been very proactive in trying to figure out how to work with the river to develop more sustainable flood protection solutions. And so they've been buying up land, setting back rivers, creating a safer community in and around the city of Yakima, and doing that in a way where you have this wonderful green space that flows through the city now.
And one other question I wanted to ask, but I should have a few minutes ago when we were on that other topic of win-win type of thing. The money that the state, that we spend on this, we citizens, are we saving money on, because I'm just thinking of the billions of dollars of commerce that doesn't take place when, and things that get ruined and destroyed during massive floods and weather events. Are they able to measure that as part of the success yet, or has it been too new yet?
It's a great question, Gary. I don't have the data right now to say that we're saving money or we're saving X dollars mm-hmm. through this new approach. What I can say conclusively, though, is a couple things. First of all, in Puget Sound alone, we have about $20 billion of assessed value. So we're talking the values of homes and businesses in floodplains, in addition to billions of dollars more of public infrastructure, roads, water treatment plants, all that. So
wow,
that's Puget Sound alone. So it gets much bigger when you look statewide. So we have huge investments as a society that are at risk in our floodplains. So we know that. We know that we invest as a society millions of dollars annually in flood protection. And we know we invest millions of dollars annually in salmon recovery. And we know despite those millions of dollars investments, flood risks continue to increase. Runs continue to decrease.
Water
quality continues to decrease. So the recipe we're using now or have used historically isn't sustainable, is not effective. And we have strong reason to believe that this integrated floodplains by design approach is much more likely to deliver substantive, cost-effective solutions.
Excellent. We were out of time, but that's an excellent way to finish up because this integrated use, I love everything you said about that. So many parts and facets of what we're talking about need to be move forward in a positive way, and they can be if done right. Wow. Excellent. Thank you so much. We have been talking today with Bob Carey from the Nature Conservancy and their Floodplains by Design projects. Thank you so much, Bob, for coming in and sharing with us an awesome new project going on in our state. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Gary. And pleasure to be here.
Bigger thanks to what the Nature Conservancy is doing to looking out for the rest of us by watching out for those rivers and floodplains in Washington. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, it's the work of a much larger community than just the Nature Conservancy, but thank you.
Yeah, all righty. I am Gary Scheib. Thanks for listening today. We hope you've learned something new. Join us again next week as we continue to talk with people that are making a difference in our community.